over the weekend, we heard from a number of top U.S. officials trying to dispel some of the tension around North Korea, saying we are not near a nuclear conflict with Korea. There's still with North Korea, there's still a lot of levers that we can pull. You had the U.S.'s top general reassuring South Korean president that we are going to try to reach some kind of peaceful agreement. To get us a better sense of where we are in all of this, I want to bring in Jack Devine, founding partner and president of the Arkin Group. He also is a former acting director of the CIA and founding partner of this security group. So, Jack, I'd love to get your sense. How close are we to a nuclear conflict with North Korea?
I don't want to be alarming, but it's been a long, long time since I thought we were in a situation where it's conceivable that we could have a military confrontation that could end up in some sort of nuclear incident. I think back to the Cuban Missile Crisis. We're not there, but you know, in Cuba, they didn't have missiles on the island. I mean, they did. That's inaccurate. We didn't learn about them until a few years later. So I think this is a very serious and threatening situation. I'm hopeful that we'll be able to walk the dog back, but I think it's I wouldn't minimize this at all. I couldn't do that in all candor.
So how do we walk the dog back?
Well, I think, first of all, any rational person would not want to get into any sort of military engagement, which could then lead to a nuclear incident. I mean, there's no way. I mean, we have the finest military in the world, finest intelligence people. But I've been in the business long enough that even with all your preparation and the best equipment, things go wrong. I mean, even if the very successful Bin Laden, one of the helicopters, you know, crashed. I mean, we had an operation to try and get our hostages out of Iran, and three of them crashed in the desert. So there's no way you can have a military operation where a general can say, I give you 100% security here that we're going to take out all their missiles. So I don't see how a military confrontation can end up with anything but a catastrophe. So I think one way or the other, we have to go back to the table. And as you know, I've been putting forth the idea they try and go back to the six-party talks. But one way or the other, if we're not going to have a confrontation, we have to get back to the table. And while things may be taking place in back rooms, and I'm sure they are, I haven't seen it other than the South Korea proposing direct talks with North Korea. So I think we have to get back to the table. I think we need to be strong, demonstrating with our B-2s and our military positioning. And I think Trump is right to speak tough to them. But I think all that aside, there's no way this ends without negotiations.
So let's talk about who we're negotiating with. I mean, China has been pinpointed as the main sort of negotiator in this whole business, just because they could potentially cut off all global economic ties with North Korea. They seem to be unwilling to do that. And then there's a question, which I want to pose to you, of how effective would that actually be? I mean, could China conceivably stop Kim Jong-un's efforts to build a nuclear arsenal?
Remember, our interests are not directly lined up with the Chinese. I mean, there's clearly some overlap. Neither of us want to see a nuclear confrontation. Certainly don't want to see one in their area. But they don't want to see United Korea either. They don't want to destabilize Korea. You have to guarantee after whatever confrontation you have that you know what's going to happen the next day. So the Chinese are not in sync with our interest. On the other hand, they have a lot of equities with us, and we with them. Historically, I think they've underinvested in trying to be helpful here. I think too many people over the past several years, and many of the articles that are written today, talk about how key China is, but they don't talk about how you get the Chinese to do something that they're not convinced is in their interest. So there has to be a great deal of pressure put on the Chinese, and it's one of the reasons, again, I think it would be important to get a group of people at the table. It's easier to make concessions when you're in a group than one-on-one, in my view. And you have to have the world sort of with you. You have the six major countries, and for those that don't follow, it would be Russia, South Korea, United States, and North Korea, South Korea. So you have you know, the world sort of trying to resolve this problem, and it's harder for everyone just to fold their hands.
Yeah, where does Russia
think now that the North Koreans have tested and they've gone a long way, they may be, because of the economic pressures on them, might be more willing to, they're not going to abandon the program, anyone that's hoping for that, good luck. I think what we could hope for is that we freeze it about where it is. And, you know, you can't take their word for it. You have to have a verifying system, and you have to have an independent intelligence look at to make sure that they're sticking with it. They made some progress the last time, in fact, some substantial progress with the six-party talks, but the North Koreans violated, and that's why it fell apart. They may be in a different position there because they now have a much more powerful nuclear capability now than they did when they walked away from the table. There may be some room here for smart negotiations, but I think we need everybody in the game.
Well, talking about that, Jack, I want to get a sense of Russia, because I don't have a clear sense of where they come down on this. Would they be willing and eager to negotiate with the other five major parties?
I think there's a couple aspects of it. They're a bit like the Chinese. It's not in their interest to see an improvement of relations between North Korea, South Korea, and the United States, because if it improves enough, you could actually find, if there was ever a unification, it would be a unification in favor of the South. So the fact that they're able, that the North Koreans cause so much commotion, it keeps us distracted, tied up, our military forces. So it's not immediately in their interest. However, they are part of the human race, and nobody can afford to think casually about having a nuclear event anywhere. So, and they want to be a player. I mean,
yeah.
they wouldn't like to hear this, but they're not a major economic force in the world. They're not on the ground the force that they were years ago. So, but they want to be taken with more respect at the table. So, if they're at the table, if everyone else goes to the table and they don't, I think they'll shrink a little bit. So you may get them to the table.
Yeah. Jack, real quick, how much confidence do you have in the current team, the current U.S. team that's negotiating this?
Well, I think we haven't as well. Again, let me come back. I'm not sure what's going on. I mean, I think we have very competent diplomats and intelligence people. I just haven't seen much discussion about a negotiation aspect of it. I haven't seen anybody putting forth, let's meet here, let's do this. Now, maybe it's going on in the back rooms. I'm hoping that it is. But the emphasis seems to be more, how do you bring the military presence and how do you threaten each side and lean on people? I don't see a format being constructed for discussion. And I said, I'm willing to admit there may be something going on, but it sure as hell isn't grabbing headlines.
Jack Devine, thank you so much for joining us. Jack Devine is former acting director of the CIA and founding partner and president of the security firm, the Arkin Group, talking about why we need to start negotiating with other major powers.